Dear Lord, as we come today again around your word, we do ask for a special portion of your blessing upon us, Lord, as we look into heaven. And we thank you for our fellowship together.
Yes.
Thank you for the time set aside for you. And it's lovely, sweet fellowship. And we do appreciate it, Lord. And we thank you for this technology that we can come together in this way. So I pray for each other and that our hearts will be open to hear from you this afternoon.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. I did like the way you said that we've set aside time for you, and I think that's lovely.
All right, Min and Sharon, you've joined us.
Hello.
Your mobile and your sound. Good. Hello. We're opening into Habakkuk today. Habakkuk.
You can't get
there. But Habakkuk?
Hang on, they haven't got their audio connected yet.
No, okay, well, we're going to Habakkuk. We'll carry on.
I don't know if they can hear us.
Right, we just read a few verses in Habakkuk chapter 1 and a few verses in chapter 2.
Habakkuk chapter 1.
Habakkuk chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 4 verses, and then jump down to verse 12. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and then 12 through to 17. Very much a situation we find ourselves in, as Habakkuk found himself in his day. So Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Ere even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Down to verse 12. Verse 12, are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously, and hold your tongue when the wicked devour? One more righteous than he? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to the dragnet, because by them their share is sumptuous, and their food plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? In chapter 2, the first 4 verses, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart, chapter 2, and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Therefore it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith or faithfulness.
Amen. Yes.
But Habakkuk lived in a time very similar to our own, as you can imagine that. We look at other scriptures as we move on through. Thank you, Mary, for praying. Now, bring this right up to date. Habakkuk was in a day when he was in great turmoil of mind and spirit, because he knew the threat of the Babylonians. Now, he lived at the same time as Jeremiah, And Jeremiah spoke about the threat of the Babylonians coming in against Jerusalem. So in a sense, today, we just bring ourselves up to date from Habakkuk. God's voice is never heard in the noise of, you think of the age in which we live, it's full of noise, isn't it?
Traffic-wise,
think of music, so-called music, and all sorts of things, just full of noise, and God can't get through. So it appears. So remember, when he spoke to Elijah, when he ran away from Jezebel, and he ran to Horeb on the top of the mountain, and covered himself up with his cloak, the Lord says, look, I'm not in the earthquake, I'm not in the great strong wind, but it's a still, small voice. And often that's the way the Lord speaks. Now, he can thunder judgment, we know. But sometimes he speaks very gently. Now, Elijah in his day, thinking of him, he was rather overwrought of all the experience on Mount Carmel, you know, the contest with the false prophets of Baal and the false priests. And he was no doubt quite exhausted. So the Lord spoke to him in a still, small voice. You know, in the Hebrew, I'll mention this, in the Hebrew, a still small voice is the sound of crushed silence. Crushed silence. Can you get any quieter than that? I don't think so. So in a sense, the Lord would like to speak to people. We need sometimes to be quiet, set time aside. And that's what Habakkuk did. He went into his watchtower, waited quietly, away from distractions, away from noise, and waited on the Lord. That's a good thing to do. Oh, there's Ella coming in. So as the Lord spoke, we're looking at Habakkuk, chapter 1 and chapter 2, Ella. Habakkuk. And he lived in a day very similar to our own. He knew the way in which the Babylonians were threatening the nation of Judah. Judah hadn't learned the lessons that Israel suffered as they were taken away by the Assyrians over 130 years ago. And now it was Judah's turn and Jerusalem's turn. And the Lord wanted to speak. And so Habakkuk eventually went to his watchtower and sought the Lord there. And he said, Lord, look, why don't you deal with this evil, Lord? This evil that's surrounding us all, this godlessness, all these lies, all this falsehood, all this apostasy of their religion. Lord, why don't you do something about it? Why don't you act? We were looking at chapter 1 and chapter 2 at the beginning. And he lived at the same time as Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah knew the threat of Babylon, as we know in Jeremiah. We'll look at that in a moment. And Habakkuk and Jeremiah lived at the same time, contemporary. And the date was, if you want it, is somewhere between 612 BC to 605 BC, because that was the time when the Babylonians attacked the first time. So Habakkuk was really bewildered and he couldn't understand, Lord, these Chaldeans, I've heard all about them, they're wicked, they're violent, they're cruel, he said, and you're allowing this wicked nation, this godless nation, worshipping other gods, you're the only God there is. Why do you allow it? He was perplexed. And you see, bring it right up to date. We're living in really troubled times with the situation in America, allegedly full of lies and fraudulence and cheating. That's the allegations. And then our own country, as indeed in the world, we've got COVID-19. And even a lot of that is just pure lies. And we've got medical people coming to expose this and expose a vaccine for what it is as well. So we live in perplexing times, just like Habakkuk. And we say, Lord, why don't you do something about it? And he's quite silent, isn't he? So it appears. Seems to be quite silent. So you see that very much Habakkuk lived in days very similar to our own. So Habakkuk talked with God. But did God answer him? Well, not to begin with. And when the Lord did answer, he answered in a very unexpected way. He said, I'm going to allow these Babylonians in their cruelty to come in and attack your people and to destroy the city and the temple as well. That rather shocked him. Let's go back to some of the Psalms. Do you like to go back? Leave Habakkuk for now Let's go back to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Now, this is a long psalm, but it's worth reading it. It's a long psalm. It's 28 verses, but let's read through this psalm. The psalmist had a similar problem.
What number, Don?
Psalm 73.
Thank you.
Psalm 73. It's a long psalm. It's 28 verses, but we look at it. It's a very similar situation that Habakkuk finds himself in, and, shall we say, maybe ourselves. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. Think of Habakkuk. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Up to date. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, thinking of Chaldeans and Babylon, God's enemies. Nor are they plagued like other men. Wow. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocence, for all day long I have plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said I would speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children, when I thought how to understand this. See, now Habakkuk couldn't understand what's happening. It was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, and that made the difference for the psalmist. And when Habakkuk went into his watchtower on watch to seek the Lord and wait, I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. And that's good for us too. We wait upon the Lord, seek his face, wait for his answers, whatever they may be. And then we can understand even the end of enemies, as it will eventually be. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. And that's exactly what happened to the Babylonians when the Medo-Persians wanted to attack Babylon, and such high walls impregnable. What do? They diverted the river Euphrates away from the walls. They crept under the walls and conquered the city. Belshazzar had a drunken feast with 1,000 lords, and they came in and destroyed them all. It was very sudden, you see. You cast them down to destruction, verse 18. Oh, how they are brought to desolate, as in a moment, and it was. They're utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream and one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you should despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and Habakkuk was like that. We can be today. And I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. So is Habakkuk. You hold me by my right hand. Isn't that encouraging? You will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. That's a well-known verse, isn't it? Guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me in glory, to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for prostitution. But it is good for me to draw near to God. Habakkuk did. so do we. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Well, Jeremiah did, Habakkuk did, and we can do the same today. How very similar all the circumstances are. There's just one other psalm we're in the Psalms. Go back to Psalm 34, would you please? Psalm 34. Look at one verse. Psalm 34 and verse 19. Psalm 34 and verse 19. That it certainly applied to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and I think it applied to Habakkuk and many Christians today. Psalm 34, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Well, there's an encouragement for you. Well, he certainly delivered Jeremiah from the Babylonians. They gave him freedom of the city when the Babylonians came in. They didn't harm him at all. Habakkuk seemed to be all right. So there he was. He was very bewildered. And the general principle here in this Psalm 73, and in Habakkuk eventually, the end of chapter 3, this blessing upon Israel, and with Jeremiah's situation, the overall principle is this: evil is self-destructive. Think about that. Evil is self-destructive. In the end, it gets defeated. Well, would you look in Habakkuk again? Go back there with me in Habakkuk. And in chapter 2, when I find it, Habakkuk chapter 2, there is a little verse there which is rather different perhaps in the Authorized to the New King James. Chapter 2 of Habakkuk and verse 6, just look at that. Chapter 2, verse 6. Notice the end of verse 6. I have it here. And to him who loads himself with many pledges. Now, I think you've got something different than that, haven't you?
Yeah.
I think you've got... what have you got there in the Authorized? Can you tell me?
Laden himself with thick clay.
Yeah, thick clay. Now, that is completely wrong. What on earth has thick clay got to do with this? Except the hard heart, who say thick as clay.
It's a good point.
But here it says, woe to him who loads himself with many pledges. People make a pledge. People make a promise and don't keep them.
It's good. It's good.
You find the situation in our day. We get all sorts of political promises, social promises, and they don't result. They make pledges.
Lies.
And it doesn't happen. So that's a much better phrasing, I think.
Do you want to hear what mine says?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
It says, woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion.
Ooh.
Yes, false pledges, false promises, yes?
What version?
The extortion.
Hello?
Yes, that's the NIV.
Yes, that's a good one.
NIV. Thank you, Alan. Okay.
No, yeah, it's the NIV.
Yeah, sometimes it's...
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, fine.
That's quite explanatory. Have you got the New American Standard version?
I have. Shall I read from it?
Yeah.
Okay, it says... Woe to him who increases what is not his, for how long, and makes himself rich with loans.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's an unusual one.
Loans. I suppose pledges and loans is the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Don't get rich with loans.
Can I have a go?
A pledge is like a promise, isn't it? People make big promises.
The complete Jewish Bible says...
Yes.
Won't all these take up taunting him and say about him in mocking riddles, woe to him who amasses other people's wealth, how long must it go on? and to him who adds to himself the weight of goods taken in pledge.
Thank you. Interesting. Well, that quite an expansion on that, isn't it?
What does it mean?
Well, people make a pledge or a promise and can't. They make a promise, they make a pledge like politicians do, and they don't keep it or they can't keep it.
Oh.
So it doesn't work out. Anyway, let's press on. So what does Habakkuk do? Well, he's in perplexity here. The Lord seems to be very silent. So what does he do? Well, in chapter 2, he says, I'll withdraw myself into my watchtower. I'm going away from the crowd. I'm going away from the noise. I'm going away from the distress of my day. I want to get alone with the Lord. Now, I think this is one of the advantages of what's happening in COVID, that we are encouraged on our own, individually, to really seek the Lord quietly in our own quiet time, more so. Perhaps more so today than at other times. And in Psalm 91, we didn't turn to it, but like some of the other Psalms, wait only on God. That's what Habakkuk doing. Wait only upon, away from the distractions, away from noise, even away from other people. Get alone with the Lord. All around us, people have their opinions. There are influential voices of politicians, even religious people in hierarchy. People who go along with the crowd, yes men, instead of standing up for truth, who are very ordinary and rather passive in life. Many people like that, very passive. We thank God for Christians who stood up in the past for wrong things like Wilberforce over slavery, etc. And Dr. Bernardo wanted to do something as a Christian for orphans, but different today, I know. But they were the men who really stood up. Jeremiah stood up fearlessly. And his own people called Jeremiah a traitor. Because he said, look, let the Babylonians come in. If you let them come in, they won't harm you. You resist them, they'll destroy you. And they did. They didn't listen to Jeremiah's good sense from the law, that was. So all sorts of things influence people today. The media influence us. Often I would suggest with untruths. We don't get the truth through our modern media, do we? I don't think we do anyway. That's my thoughts. Okay. So all these other voices, very advertising can be very subtle. And all these, if you like, are speaking to people and distracting people. And so often, and this is a big one, we let other people do our thinking for us. Yes? We let other people do our thinking for us. Politicians tend to dictate, especially over a vaccine or over COVID-19 or over this or that social issue as well. And wearing masks. Well, we'll go into that now. But you see, people are listening to what others say. And it's just the custom to do it. Go along with the crowd. Don't stand up and resist. These prophets did, Habakkuk did, Jeremiah did, and how about us? Oh, let's not let others do our thinking, unless it's godly thinking. That's a different matter. But ungodly thinking, don't let it influence us. Think godly, think holy living. So in ourselves, you and I as believers should watch out for all the deception and the lies, the falsehood, especially coming from Christendom and perhaps from politicians. Those in the media, they're not telling us the truth. So we need to get alone with the Lord and hear what he says as he speaks through his scriptures, through his word. So we should be creative and not conditioned to other people's thinking. Be creative. Have a mind of your own. Have a biblical mind, of course. But that's where we are here. Habakkuk learned the secret of withdrawing from the crowd, from influence, from the noise of popular opinion of his day. Oh, these things are not going to happen to us. It's going to work out all right. False prophets, Jeremiah's day, same as Habakkuk, same time. Don't listen to the falsehood in the realms of Christendom. Know the truth. So all around Habakkuk, there was anarchy, there was lawlessness, there was corruption, there was violence, this is what he said, there's apostasy, religious rebellion, insubordination to authority. When Habakkuk withdrew, he knew all, he could see it all around him, he told God about it, and the Lord was silent to begin with. But when he withdrew into his watchtower, the Lord communicated truth to him. That was important. And it's in the atmosphere of withdrawal from noise, from the crowd, from popular opinion, as we seek the Lord, his wisdom comes through his word, through the impressions he lays on our lives. God can't impress us, you know, without even a word. And the Lord will say to us, like in the prophets, other prophets, the Lord said, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, the Lord sometimes tests, how much do you want me? How much do you want to hear me? How much do you want to spend time with me? Good test. Now, the watchtower in itself, I remember when my wife, Mark, and I were in Australia, oh, many years ago now, we went up into a watchtower, which is high above a forest, so they could see everything around them as the man in the watchtower looking out for fires, of course. But he was high up, he could perceive and spot anything that was going on. Now, maybe this watchtower of Habakkuk, maybe it was somebody else's, I don't know. Maybe in a big vineyard somewhere or some other fruitful area. But he withdrew into the watchtower alone, quietly, and sought the Lord, wanted to hear from him as well. So it was quiet enough to seek the Lord. And like Elijah, maybe Habakkuk needed the still small voice that the Lord spoke to Elijah when he was an overwrought servant. Habakkuk must have felt really awful. He must have been in a turmoil, wondering, what's going on, Lord? You're not answering. You're not doing anything. So Habakkuk withdrew into the presence of the Lord. And he wanted to receive something from him that was going to help him with peace of mind and spirit, and also to help the people around him.